First Chronicles 29, verse 10. In this triad of messages, we have seen what the Bible says about stewardship and what the Bible says about how we manage and spend our lives and our money. Then we looked more at the practice of giving, the secrets of life. This morning we're going to do a study of contrast concerning the attribute of humility. It's an attribute that needs to be present in all of us as we handle the resources that God has put under our control. First, a man who seemed to lack humility. We're going to show a clip, a video clip. The clip comes from the 1965 movie Shenandoah. The movie is set in 1864 amidst the Civil War. Jimmy Stewart plays the father who is praying as the family sits down to eat. Pay attention to how many times he says "we" in this little clip.
We cleared this land. We plowed it, sowed it, and harvested. We cooked the harvest. It wouldn't be here. We wouldn't be eating it if we hadn't done it all ourselves. We worked dog bone hard for every crumb and morsel, but we thank you just the same anyway, Lord, for this food we're about to eat. Amen.
I remember watching that movie for the first time, and that scene jumped out at me. Did you count how many times he said "we"? It was 7 or 8 times, wasn't it? And that's not counting all the times that he just kind of ran everything together. We're going to see the contrast to the movie characters. We look at the end of David's life as he prepares Solomon to continue in the building of the temple there in Jerusalem. It's a study of contrast. 1 Chronicles 29, we're going to start in verse 10. So David blessed the Lord in the sight of all the assembly. And David said, "Blessed are you, O Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. Indeed, everything that is in the heavens and the earth. Yours is the dominion, O Lord, and you exalt yourself as head over all. Both riches and honor come from you, and you rule over all, and in your hand is power and might, and it lies in your hand to make great and to strengthen everyone. Now, therefore, our God, we thank you and praise your glorious name. But who am I, and who are my people, that we should be able to offer as generously as this? For all things come from you, and from your hand we have given you. For we are sojourners before you in tenants, as all our fathers were. Our days on the earth are like a shadow, and there is no hope. O Lord our God, all this abundance that we have provided to build you a house for your holy name, it is from your hand, and all is yours. Since I know, O my Lord, that you try the heart and delight in uprightness, I in the integrity of my heart have willingly offered all these things. So now with joy I have seen your people who are present here make their offerings willingly to you. O Lord, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, our fathers, preserve this forever in the intentions of the heart of your people and direct their heart to you. And give to my son Solomon a perfect heart to keep your commandments, your testimonies, and your statutes, and to do them all, and to build the temple for which I have made provision." The first contrast to see is the difference of understanding who is the true owner of everything. Your name may be on the title or deed, but you do not really own it. David had gathered all the leaders of the people of Israel together. He was old, and he knew he was old, and his heart's desire had always been to build a temple for the Lord, a permanent place that the Lord's presence would be. But because he was a man of war, because God had to use him in that way, God said, "No, I'm not going to let you build my temple. I'm going to let Solomon, your son." So David was old. He had already made Solomon king of Israel. And so here he was, and the term that he gets used is a palatial structure for the Lord. a palatial structure. It was a place, it was a structure, it was something that when you walked into it, you said, there is nothing else in all the earth like this. And that was to remind us that there is no one but the Lord. And there is no one but the Lord Jesus Christ whom He sent to save us. There is no one else. So David recounted for them in the first 9 verses of the chapter how he had done all he could to get Solomon ready. And understanding the truth of verse 11 that everything in heaven and on earth is the Lord's, he gave even more to the project. He gave gold and silver and iron and bronze and wood and all this stuff. Lots of it. Tons, it says, of silver and gold. One commentator translating the quantities from biblical measures to ours used that word tons. Tons of gold. Tons of silver. Now, I didn't look it up. I don't know what gold is selling for now by the ounce. But it's probably somewhere around, I think the last time heard was $1,200. An ounce, multiply that times 16, multiply that times 2,000, and then you start multiplying that by how many tons, and I think one estimation of it was, one translation of it was that David himself gave 33 tons of gold. The other day I was out in my garden, as I normally am at this time of year, and figuring that I have thrown a fortune over the cliff, there was a pretty good sized rock, and it had a gold look to it. And I thought, just how much am I fixing to throw here? David gave all this because he realized that he wasn't the owner of it, that God had given it to him. So giving it back, what is that to him? And so David gave, and all the people gave. Because the people understood, too, who the true owner of everything is. They knew that all things had come from the hand of the Lord. Now, contrast. Jesus told the parable of the landowner in Luke chapter 12. The landowner confused who really owned the land and its produce, and the parable goes like this. The land of a rich man was very productive. And he began reasoning to himself, saying, "What shall I do, since I have no place to store my crops?" Then he said, "This is what I will do. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, 'Soul, you have many goods laid up for many years to come. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this very night your soul is required of you. And now who will own what you have prepared? So is the man who stores up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God.'" Are you like David this morning, who understands that all he could see, all he could get his hands on, all he could count, he did not really own? Or are you like the man that Jesus told about, who was all life really was for that landowner was about acquiring, because he thought he could own it. He thought he could own it. As you look at or think about all that has your name on the title of deed, do you ever think, "I deserve that. I deserve that"? Or is that something you say to yourself when you're considering something new? But I deserve this. Let me tell you, if you and I got what we deserved, it'd be a sad time. One truth I have come to understand is we tell on ourselves. And as we handle resources, how we handle resources, especially what we consider that we own, tells volumes. A study of contrast. The second contrast is to measure your thankfulness. This may be where what you think you deserve tells on yourself. David stands before all the leaders and praises the Lord. He blesses him. He says something good about the Lord. He blesses the Lord. When they came together as a people, they came to worship. They came to worship because they were thankful for how God had worked in their life. They were thankful for what God had done. Not only in terms of flesh and blood, but in terms of all the things that they could count and look at. They were thankful. And so he begins this time by praising the Lord. And David acknowledges several things in this. He acknowledged the Lord as their father, as the source of them. That God is the one who had caused them, and God was the one who had provided for them. Forever and ever. Then David acknowledges God's greatness and his power and his majesty and the victory that God had given him over all the enemies. And you think back and you know the story, some of the highlights of David's life. Here he is, a little fuzzy-cheeked shepherd boy. And dad sends him to check on the brothers because they're fighting the Philistines. And David just had enough nerve, I guess, or enough youthful whatever to say, you know what, if this guy's going to blaspheme the Lord, I'm going to take care of him. And you know what happened to Goliath. You look at all the things that David did and you just see how David knew that all the victories over the enemies had been the Lord's that he had let him have. David also acknowledged that all he could see, all he could count, all he could get his hands on was from the Lord. He acknowledged that. And David called himself a sojourner, a tenant. He knew that he was passing through. He said, our life is just like a vapor. We don't last long. And so he just knew. And so he was thankful for what God had allowed him to see and do. And he acknowledged, too, his situation in life. Not only as king, but now about to hand the kingship off to Solomon. That it was the Lord's that gave him the ability to protect and rule. And he was thankful. He was thankful. If you have ever owned rental property, you can relate to this story. 25 years ago or so, when we had moved from Broken Arrow, Oklahoma to Bartlesville, Oklahoma, we began renting the little house that we bought right out of college. And for the most part, things went well enough until, there's that word, until. Until one day when we had moved to Fort Worth, Texas, even farther away from the house for me to go to seminary. The people called to tell us that they were moving out of the rental house. And I knew I was in trouble when the lady said, just go ahead and keep the deposit. Oh. Sure enough, the house was a wreck. You know, built, I don't know, probably mid-70s, it had this gold shag carpet. Anybody ever have gold shag carpet in your house? Yeah, some of us have. It looked like somebody had changed the oil of a car in the middle of the living room. It was black. And I thought, oh. I remember my father-in-law stood for about 2 hours in one bedroom filling nail holes so that we could paint over it. Why is it? Renters often never seem to take good care of the place they're living. Well, ultimately, I think it is that because they are not thankful to be living in a place they could not otherwise afford. They're not thankful. Now, this morning, are you a person who realizes that all that you say you own, all that you say you have, is not really yours, but it's the Lord's, and you're just thankful that he lets you use it? Look at all David acknowledged and ask yourselves these questions. Do you see God as your father, as your source? Do you know that you have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, and because of that relationship, you have been adopted into God's family? Do you know for a fact, are you sure that God has adopted you, that you have that relationship? Do you see Him as the source of all you are and all you have? Do you acknowledge in the way you live your life, the way you come off to people, that you consider God to be great, that you consider Him to be powerful, that you consider to Him to be wonderful? Do you acknowledge your place in life to be because of who He is and what He has done? So think for a moment about what you have, what you own. Do you acknowledge that it is all from Him? Or do you think you earned it and you deserve it? A study of contrast. A third contrast is to be sure you reinforce your integrity every day. In every part of every day, in every part of your life, you must be true to the Lord. Let me read verse 9. We didn't read it, but listen for what you would say is the key word. Then the people rejoiced because they had offered so willingly, for they made their offering to the Lord with a whole heart. Did I give you enough of a clue? A whole heart. And King David also rejoiced greatly. A whole heart. There was nothing about their hearts that were divided. And that's how they made their offering, with their whole heart. Their whole heart. They understood who owned it. They understood who provided it. And they were all thankful for being able to steward what God had given them. 100% of it. They didn't hold anything back. There was no part of their life that said, you know, I really did that. No, they understood that it was all from what God had done. And so then in verse 17, David spoke of his heart. Of his heart. Its uprightness, its integrity. And when I hear that word integrity now, I'm old enough that when I learned to play baseball, we used wooden bats. And if you ever wondered if the bat was cracked, what did you do? You turned it around, you held the barrel in your hand, and you tapped it on the ground because it would tell you, it would sound differently. Let me tell you, if the Lord turns our hearts down to the ground and taps our hearts on the ground, what's it going to sound like? What's it going to sound like? And his heart was true. It was upright. Everything he said, everything he did, everything he gave back to the Lord was done willingly and joyfully because he knew that he was really nothing. He knew that he was really nothing. And all of it was from the Lord and for the Lord. And David finished his prayer with one request, that the Lord would give Solomon a perfect heart, a complete heart. We've been going through the book of Acts on Wednesday night. And I spoke of this couple of weeks ago. One of the distinctive happenings within the church was that they held everything in common, and they didn't look at it as yours and mine and his and hers and all that. It was all there together, and they would sell property to meet needs. But one couple, Ananias and Sapphira, you probably know the story, seemed to do just that. They had sold some property. Except what they gave and what they sold the property for didn't match. They lied to the apostles, to the other members of the church, and they lied to the Holy Spirit because they lacked integrity. So are you reinforcing your integrity every day, even when it is hard to admit? Is your heart upright and whole? Or are there areas of your life that you're shading a little bit because you don't want to admit the truth about yourself to yourself? Let me tell you, until you can tell yourself the truth about yourself to yourself, you're not really thankful. Because you think that that you deserve it, or God is just, you know, kind of out there, but you're the one. You're the one. And until you can tell yourself the truth about yourself, you're not really thankful because you don't see how much you need Christ as a Savior. I really do believe that in the American church today, that there are people in the pew this morning that think God is lucky to have them, when it is the truth is quite something else. So of the two men, the character from the movie and David, which are you most like? Are you a person of humility? Do you live with the realization that you are not the owner of what you hold, what you have, what you use, what you can count, but the Lord is? Are you thankful? Are you thankful for what He has put into your care? Do you ever say, as you're about to spend money, I deserve this? Are you a person of integrity? Is your heart whole, or is it divided? Are you a person of humility?